Good evening, everybody. If you please take your seats and kindly turn your cell phones off or turn the ringer.
Oh, man.
My sound just went off. Turn the sounds or the ringers off, we would appreciate that. And we probably can turn this down a little bit, I think.
It seemed loud to everybody.
Okay, with that, I'll reconvene the April 24th City Council meeting. The City Council was in closed session this evening, and City Attorney, do you have anything to report?
There's no reportable action.
Fine, thank you. At this time, let me see, where did I go? The award, yeah. At this time, we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance, and Councilman Sturvent, would you please lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you. Can we please have a roll call?
Yes. Councilmember Fonzie? Here. Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Here.
Mayor Kelly?
Here.
All present.
Next on the agenda are some presentations this evening, and I believe Mr. Thompson has the first presentations.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. The city over the past year has been very fortunate to see an increased number of volunteers helping in our community, and in these economic times, we can certainly use all the help we can get. Tonight, we're pleased to recognize one of our most enthusiastic group of volunteers. Last month, the group American Heritage Girls asked if they, and they've offered to try to do a service project within the city every other month for us. So we are really excited about having their help. So tonight, Karen Cathcart, their leader, is here, and we'd like to ask them to, her and the girls, to come forward so we can recognize them and thank them with a certificate from the mayor.
Started in community involvement.
Road intersection. We continue to have a variety of questions. This was on your last agenda, and we referred it back to this council agenda. There continues to be questions arise around this project. And so at this point, There already is council approval for, or council direction for the entire 41 Los Altos intersection, as was originally approved in the project. And at this time, we're asking to take this off the agenda, and we won't make any changes to that program.
Fine, thank you. Could I have approval for the agenda minus item number C1?
So moved.
Roll call vote, please.
Second.
Okay.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Hey, Bob, I think Tom O'Malley could say a few words about Bike Month. Okay, and
we might have a chance later.
Yeah, we'll do that after Wade gets done, which, in case somebody shows up.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. I always appreciate these opportunities. We have such terrific employees. And again, tonight, we have some exceptional employees for me to share with you. First, let me introduce Paula. Well, I don't need to introduce Paula Anton. Everybody in town knows Paula Anton. Paula's been with us for 25 years. For the past 25 years, Paula has planned and organized many of the city's most popular events, programs like Hot El Camino Nights, the concerts in the park, and she really does that, concerts in the park up, Sunken Garden, holiday lighting. She's the one behind the switch that keeps her fingers crossed the lights are really going to come on. And certainly Paula has been in charge of our adult softball league, which is no small task in itself. She oversees the Monster Skateboard Contest Series since its inception, and when she's not juggling the management of all these simultaneous events, Paula spends as much time outdoors with her two grandsons as she can. We want to thank Paula Anton. We'll get a picture with all of them with the council. Secondly, let me introduce Rochelle Rickard. Perhaps, I always say Jeff English is the hardest working city employee. Rochelle Rickard gives him a run for her money. Rochelle was my first department head appointment, and she was an incredible choice. Rochelle's one of our go-to people, and she's capable of handling the whole organization. She dealt with FEMA every day now for nearly 9 years. It's commonplace to see Rochelle here on weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, and even till midnight. We try to get the police department to run her off at midnight, but she keeps telling us she likes the middle of the night. Rochelle, thank you. Nobody's wanting to talk. Now, this was not so hard to get Matt Vieira on the fire department as it was to get Matt Vieira to a city council meeting. We've been trying this for months. Matt has a passion for emergency medicine. He manages all the city's medical programs and provides emergency medical services training for the police department, wastewater, and community services. He supervises the city's automatic electronic defibrillator, the AED program. Matt's the department's lead field training officer, providing training to new personnel, hoping to become paramedics, and supervises all of the EMS purchases and replacement equipment. Matt's leadership has served the city well through the creative and inventive plans to keep our equipment modern and our personnel current in the ever-changing world of EMS. Matt, thanks so much for coming. And Keith Flarios couldn't be here tonight. He's ill, but we'll bring him back. Kelly Netz has been with us for 5 years. Kelly's with the police department. She's been a sworn member of the police department since 2006. In 2011, she joined the investigation unit. And while serving as a patrol officer, she was a leader in proactive law enforcement, one of our top performers. She's noted for being the person, the officer that led the way in bringing the chaplain, the police chaplain program, back to service, and has been actively seeking members of the clergy to participate. She's a lifelong resident of Atascadero. She's the bond between the police and fire departments, and we're really excited to have Kelly. Kelly and Paul recently had a baby. Kelly's only been back a couple of days, and all of a sudden, all star performances in the last couple of days. I'm not supposed to, not sure if I can share all the events, but Kelly evidently took a bunch of drugs off the street today. So we really want to thank Kelly. Where are you? There she is, hiding in the back.
Not on the agenda, but we do have some other recognitions that we would like to make this evening. Yesterday, Sergeant Joe Allen became our new commander in the police department. We want to congratulate Joe on that. And Joe, if you would come forward so the chief can introduce you and tell you how the process went and why you are the new commander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to thank you and the other members of council for showing up for our swearing-in the other day, and I had the opportunity to share with you all at that time, and I would just like the opportunity again to share with everybody those reasons that we kind of were excited about the hiring of Joe Allen as our new police commander. Joe obviously has been a longtime fixture around here. There's not a few or not many people around Atascadero that don't know Joe. He's very involved in a lot of things, youth sports. He's coached just about every sport except ice hockey, I think. So we've seen his face before. But really, we were looking for three things when we looked for our new commander. And we wanted somebody who, first and foremost, cared about people. And that is truly something that can be said of Joe. He loves the people. He cares about the department, but he cares mostly about the people in the department and is out for their best interest, not his own. And I think that's one of his best attributes. We also looked for a man and or somebody to fill this role who had a tremendous amount of integrity, and Joe fits to have Joe on our team. I think he's going to do a tremendous job for our city. He has a lot of that vision for where we want to be. And so I would like to just take this opportunity to kind of introduce to everybody Commander Joe Allen.
Like I said yesterday, during my swearing in, you know, my family was here, my immediate family, some of my extended family, and then you folks in the community have been my other family. Some of you, I might have coached your kids in some sport or another. I might have chased one here or there over the 17 years I've been here, too. But I always treated them with respect. And let you know that I look forward to the next challenge, the next step, serving under our chief. And I guarantee you that I will give you 100, 110% every single day I'm on the job.
Thank you, Joe. Job well done. We have two other people that we'd like to recognize tonight. A week ago this evening, the Elks Lodge here in Atascadero had their 6th annual Police Fireman Appreciation Dinner. And at that dinner, two individuals were recognized who were selected by their peers as being the Fireman of the Year and the Police Officer of the Year. So I'd like to have Matt Vieira come forward and Caleb Davis. And Chief Stone, if you could tell us a little bit about Matt and why his peers selected him, we certainly would appreciate it.
Boy, it's kind of hard to add to what Wade already said about Matt on his tenure. It goes without saying that Matt's the guy behind the scenes, and it's funny. A lot of people don't recognize him or won't say, oh, I didn't know Matt did that. We've heard that at every turn. I didn't realize Matt did that. And, you know, Matt's one of those folks that when he's retired someday, we're going to go, how come this isn't getting done? And it's going to be because Matt used to do it, and it just went under the radar. And that's typical of Matt. He's hiding behind me. I've known Matt for a lot of years. I didn't say it at the Elks since Wade covered most of it. I'll say it now. Matt and I graduated high school together, played football together, and then went to college and played opposing each other on two different teams. I've known Matt for a number of years, and much like Commander Allen, Matt's integrity is above reproach, and he really fills a need in the fire department and gives a stability and kind of an anchor in the fire department, and is kind of a bellwether for what's right. And you will never find a more compassionate person who's more willing to give his time and the care and treatment of the public, especially when it comes to...
He came by and says, can you show me that? And I was amazed at all of the equipment that he has procured from somewhere for that ambulance. I think Matt told me it was about $90,000 worth of equipment in there, and it's like a fully equipped ambulance that he has got for the city of Atascadero. And I'm sure he will utilize it. In the fire department, we'll utilize it for the citizens of the Atascadero, and we should be very proud of your efforts, and we are. We want to thank you for that, Matt. Chop, well done. The other recipient from the police department was Caleb Davis. And Gerald, if you could tell us all, don't tell us everything about Gerald, just the good stuff, okay?
Okay. I'll leave a few things out. Some of you know Caleb. You might have seen him tooling around town on a motorcycle. Some of you probably have tried to avoid him at all costs as he tools around on that motorcycle. Caleb is certainly one of the people that is a strong advocate for our department and goes on our behalf to a lot of different meetings with the state of California for the Department of Traffic Safety. He's a grant writer and has done a tremendous amount of grant writing to bring us some of the things that we've been able to do with our DUI enforcement. He's also been, I've described him to a lot of people, a tremendous ambassador for the city of Atascadero. When I met with him as I was going through the process of looking at this job, he presented the city of Atascadero in a way that made me want to be here, and I think he does the same with the other people that he comes into contact with. He always has a smile on his face. Maybe if you write enough tickets, you just smile naturally. I'm not sure. But he always is smiling. He's always happy to be here, always happy to be doing his job. He's also been a strong advocate through the association. He has done a great job putting together different events, fundraising events, specifically the golf tournament that the association has held, to bring in money that they can then in turn give back to the community. We've seen a couple of examples of that where the association has been able to give money back to the community for education of our children. And so that's a lot of the reason that exists is because of Caleb. And so we are truly proud of him and appreciative of all that he does for us as a police department and us as a city. So, Caleb.
I think we'd like to get a picture with the two chiefs and the recipients. And Joe, could you come on down too, please?
Don't be shy. You're going to have to come up here.
This evening, we also gave out a couple of proclamations before the city council meeting. One is National Police Week, and Officer Scott Pippen from the police department accepted that. And it was also city clerk recognition. So we were able to recognize our city clerk, Marcia Torgerson, for the outstanding job that she does. We want to thank both of you for your efforts in the community. Also, is there anybody showed up from the bike group yet? We had a presentation. It's a bike month, and I know, Tom, you're involved in bike activities. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I'll fill in for Angela from the Rideshare Program, part of San Luis Council of Governments. And we're getting famous up in Atascadero for doing unique bike event activities. Jim Patterson and I have a kind of a running challenge. He does kind of like the big kid bike events where you ride over the grade, and I always try to find something downhill, short distance. It's a lot of fun for kids. And I, Jerry and I fit in well with that group. Last year we rode from Santa Rosa School down one of our safe routes to schools to our Veterans Memorial because we wanted to show off our family-friendly and bike-friendly community. We've put a lot of energy as a community into our safe routes to schools. We've got a bike plan we've implemented with our a group of community volunteers, and I think they've done a great job. Well, this year we've got a bigger group working on this. We've got the Slow Bike Coalition, who does a lot of larger bike events countywide, is giving us some assistance. We've got a lot of help from our school districts, and what I was really aiming for, which we've accomplished, is we've got some very good presentations within the schools about bike safety, and if we accomplished nothing else, that was a great thing. But we've also got a lot of business support to do a bike event, and with our police chief and CHP, we're going to have a round table pizza, and then we're going to go be seeing a movie down at Galaxy Theater. We've got a lot of local businesses helping out, giving sponsorships, and putting in some coupons for things like Cold Stone ice cream. Mike Callen, our good business partner here, and many of the downtown businesses are helping out with that. So we've got some great sponsors like Rabobank, making sure kids have helmets. We've got a nice grant for that. Working with PG&E is going to be looking at buying some bike racks to put in our downtown that'll help things in the future. So we're very excited about that, and we've tried to get leadership from our Atascadero High School Bike Club. We asked them to pick a movie if we're going to show a movie down there at Galaxy Theater, and it was unanimous. We're going with Breaking Away, if all of you maybe have seen that before. Kind of a fun family movie. So that will be Bike Month coming up on May the 9th, our first activity, and then our own Caleb Davis, again, helping to organize a bike rodeo. They'll be on May 26th, and that's going to be a heck of a lot of fun coming up. So Atascadero is doing its part, letting the rest of the county know that we are family-friendly and bike-friendly in Atascadero. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, Tom, could I piggyback a little bit on this Breaking Away movie is a great movie, folks. I mean, you'll really enjoy it, and I'd really encourage you to go. If you've seen it before, come and see it again. It'll touch you, and believe me, you're going to love it. It's a great movie.
Thank you, Jerry. While we're on recognitions, Tom would like to address a recognition that one of our employees received?
Yes, I was going to do this later, but we were talking about all of our other great employees, a chance to talk about another one. There's a countywide organization called Access for All, and it really got started with Paul Wolf, who's an architect down at Cal Poly, who's devoted his life to accessibility in communities. And we were honored in our community. We had three nominees for one of these awards, myself up at Portola Inn, our own Atascadero Quota, and our own Brady Cherry with some activities going on at our youth center. Brady and I were talking about, well, we figure it's safe. We're not going to get it because the folks we were competing with were really outstanding individuals that have done a lot helping in this area of access. But I was right, but Brady was wrong. One of us did get it, and Brady Cherry, our own Brady Cherry, was selected for this honor, the 11th annual Paul Wolf. Congratulations, and thank you for helping us all do a good job.
Thank you.
Give it.
He's hiding behind the plant there.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't know where Brady was back there. Thank you, Brady. Next on the agenda is the consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and will be approved by one motion if no member of the council or public wishes to comment or ask questions. Is there any item on the consent calendar that any council member wishes to pull? Is there any item on the consent calendar that any of the public wishes to pull? If not, I'll look for a motion to approve the consent calendar.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is City Manager updates.
Mayor and Council, a couple of quick things for you. First of all, let me tell you one of the most exciting things, the Colony Square update. The city provided a loan guarantee, as we know, to assist in the creation of the Colony Square, which includes a Galaxy Theater and restaurant shops over there. The first phase has been completed. The construction project provided over 300 jobs, and there's more than 100 ongoing jobs over there, and obviously a top-rated theater and quite the investment in the community. We started this as a public-private partnership with the Redevelopment Agency and Mission Community Bank, assisting in the loan documents or the loan to the Colony Square partners with some other local banks. And this Friday, our guarantee is complete. And so 9 o'clock this Friday morning, we'll have a little ceremony, our guarantee burning ceremony. So we had pledged $1.5 million to get that project going in a public-private partnership. We earned interest during that period, and now we have a project and are going to get the agency funds back. So that's really exciting how that project came together, and you guys should really be proud of your work there. It says I have a slide for the Fireman's Fun Run. I think that is our leader right there.
Who's dragging up there?
Jim Lewis. We were hoping he would win the race. He said he came in really good. It was all uphill. The first different services, and some people stayed and spent money in town. Some of the quotes we had from a participant, what I would have never known that the first 5K you ever run was really well done. The health fair was fun. The kids stuff, the music just made for a great environment. And of course, from our own assistant city manager, Jim Lewis, that course was awful. No, that wasn't Jim, but it was a good quote. And lastly, let me remind you again on the Del Rio project, the EIR update. We're nearing the end of the comment period. It would be the end of this month. That project has been with us now since May 30th, 2006, I think, was the first meeting. So you've had many, many meetings on that. The EIR, both documents are out. So there was an EIR document we circulated. We decided to do additional information, and we recirculated the additional EIR information. So there's been a couple of 45-day comment periods that we're coming to the end of. The mitigation measures for the Del Rio Road US 101 interchange have changed from the previous draft EIR. The first draft environmental impact report specified that the project applicant, Walmart, and the Rotman Group would be responsible for building the modern roundabouts where the two traffic signals currently are at the interchange ramp heads. The mitigation measures provided the applicant would be reimbursed for their costs above the proportionate share. Major infrastructure projects like freeway interchanges and bridges are funded with the city's traffic impact fee. Every time a house or a store is built in Atascadero, a transportation impact fee is collected and put in a restricted account that can only be used for these expansion projects. A good example, like I used at the last meeting, is Lewis Avenue Bridge, where we used a variety of sources, including the traffic impact fee for the development project. This latest version of the draft environmental impact report is recommending a different mitigation. That would be that the city will secure permits and project approvals from Caltrans and construct the interchange improvements. There will be a TIF fee plus a special TIF fee that would cover the proportionate share of the interchange improvements. So the Del Rio project, in addition to paying a standard TIF fee like most projects would pay, a special TIF fee of about $2.4 million as their proportionate share of the interchange improvement. So we have an investment. Of course, there have been traffic impact fees paid in the city previously, a very large staff report. So if I can answer any questions about those things, I'd love to.
I have one. Wade, I think it'd be remiss if we didn't mention Ida Robinson in regards to the loan and the whole process. She was a hero in this whole thing. Without her participation at the time she was head of Mission Bank Way, it would have never gone through. So certainly we need to give her credit for that. And the other thing is Jim Lewis, real proud of what he did. He did tell me he beat three ladies across the finish line, so that was really good. Yeah.
Anybody else? Fine. Thank you, Mr. McKinney. Next on the agenda is the community forum. This is the time when people have the opportunity to address the city council on items that are not on the agenda this evening. Your time is limited to 3 minutes, and there's a timer on the dais there, and there's another timer there. First 2.5 minutes are green. The last 30 seconds are yellow. The red light will come on with a buzzer. And Mr. Rothman, if you could let Pastor Sean from Refugee Church go first, please, we certainly would appreciate it. Pastor Sean, I forget your last name. But
Varner, Sean Varner.
Fine, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor Kelly. I am Sean Varner, youth pastor at Refuge Church, and I just want to take this moment to pray for your meeting and your guys' time. So if you'd all join me. Father God, we want to thank you for, Lord, that you've just established governments, Lord. Lord, that we don't have this anarchy, Lord. In Romans 13, you make it very clear that you have set people in place to guard and to guide and to administer. And Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for these men and women who are giving of their time and giving of their talents to serve this community, Lord. And as we got to witness so many people who are being recognized tonight, those who have gone above and beyond their regular call, Lord, and we just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this community and that there are people that are willing to stand up and to do above and beyond what is necessary, Lord. We thank you for that. And Father, we pray your continued blessing on this community. We pray your continued blessing upon the members of this council and the mayor and the members of the city, facilities and utilities and so forth, Lord. And we just pray your hand would be upon them. Give them wisdom. Give them guidance, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that the word I kept hearing so much when the awards were given were words like integrity. And we thank you for that.
Relate information in order to achieve that goal. If I made the statement that Del Rio Interchange would have to be converted to a 4-lane bridge at a cost of $8 million to address the Walmart project, people would have every right to ask me to show what evidence I have to support that claim. I might even be accused of intentionally misleading people. The public is being led to believe that two roundabouts will be built at the Del Rio Interchange at a cost of $4.5 million. I think it is a fair question to ask, what evidence is there to support this claim? Since Caltrans has the final say on whether roundabouts will be allowed at the Del Rio Interchange, it would be instructive to see what they have to say. Caltrans wrote an email to the city, which in part states, I quote, "Just to ensure we're on the same page, although roundabouts are on the table, there is no guarantee yet, implied or otherwise, that this is the solution," end quote. Over a year ago, Caltrans sent a one-page project initiation form to the city. This would begin the process of answering the question of whether Caltrans will or will not approve roundabouts. To date, the city has not submitted this form to start that process. How can we know how much Walmart should contribute to the interchange if we do not know what is going to be required of us, and therefore the cost? Most everyone agrees that having the interchange improvements in place at the time of Walmart opening is the best and cheapest solution. If the city has or can get roundabout approval, and the city manager says the city will receive approximately $4.8 million in traffic impact fees that will be used on the interchange, why don't we just do it before the Walmart opens, if everything is in place? I'm asking the City Council to extend the comment period on the partially recirculated draft EIR until a workshop can be held to clear up this and other issues. The public then would be better informed and able to make relevant comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. My name is David Broadwater. I brought a slide for projection onto the screen. If that could be thrown up there now, I'd appreciate it. City Manager Wade McKinney said at your last City Council meeting and in his April 13th column in the Atascadero News that the city, how did he come up with those that number of $4,887,000? The currently circulated EIR states that the special TIFs for Del Rio Road includes $1.296 million from Walmart and $1.095 million from the annex, which we all know is now dead. That brings you to the $2,388,000 he's talking about. Then for the standard TIFs, he included $1,699,000 and some money from Walmart, but also another $1,166,000 and some from the annex, which is dead. That's how he came up with the $2,865,000 or so dollars. So for the special TIF and the standard TIF, he added together, he included $2,261,000 and mentioned tonight that we'd be getting $2.3 million, and said that again tonight, that we'd be getting about $2.3 million. That's what that number is. That includes that money from the annex. Here's the truth. Without the annex, that's $4.5 million estimated cost for that the roundabouts up there, and that's just estimated because we don't know what Caltrans, since they have control, are really going to require. But we're only know, as suggested by the EIR, we're going to get $1,292,798 from Walmart. That leaves the businesses and the taxpayers in this town on the hook for $3,207,000 and $202, about $3.2 million. So it's irresponsible, I believe, for the city manager to be telling the public through the newspaper and the council here at meetings during his city manager updates that we're going to get this huge number, almost $4.9 million for a $4.5 million estimated project, when the fact is all we know it's about $1.3 from Walmart since the annex is out the window. And I think it's also irresponsible for the city council to allow the city manager to spread that kind of disinformation. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, council members, staff, and attendees. I'm Tom Colmar, resident of Atascadero and spokesperson for SaveAtascadero.com, formerly opposed Walmart. It must be quite obvious by now to those present and at home that after hearing the two previous speakers that the executive staff, with the complicity of the city council, have negotiated the city, future potential businesses, and the taxpayers into a financial sinkhole. A structured payment guideline to account for this fee. There's no legal requirement that Walmart even pay this pulled out of the air manufactured special fee unless Walmart and the city have already negotiated it. Walmart has gotten off dirt cheap. Even if it does end up paying this $1.3 million, it's a small price to pay for one, not having the responsibility of constructing the two roundabouts, two, for not having to wait until they are constructed before opening the doors for business, three, not paying the cost of mitigation when the Del Rio interchange is closed for 6 months to a year for the cost of during this construction and traffic nightmare, and four, not having to pay more of the cost of the roundabouts or an alternative solution that may be demanded by Caltrans down the road. Walmart will promise anything to sell their supercenter to a city, like stating unequivocally in this room and by PowerPoint that it would pay for all traffic mitigations. An email from City Manager Wade McKinney to George Luna as far back as 2005 assured George that Walmart would pay for all the traffic mitigations as well. That, of course, was before the public even knew that a behind-the-door deal had been made by the City Council and staff with Walmart that it was to be the anchor in the Del Rio development. The EIR process is supposed to be independent, but this recirculated draft is like a negotiated settlement. There are many inconsistencies with the original draft, and no specifics to support their differing conclusions. It's no wonder that the city and Walmart chose Michael Brandom and Associates. They've done many EIRs across the state, and if they weren't doing right by Walmart and they weren't pleased by it, they wouldn't be doing these EIRs. Now, we don't owe Walmart a dime. Walmart is 100% responsible for the cost of its development and its impacts, and I'd like to ask the public to please comment on this recirculated draft. Attend the future meetings about the completed EIR, and I too request an extension of the public comment period. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, my name's Mike Anderson, and first of all, I'd like to compliment our mayor and our council members on what a great job I think you're all doing.
Thank you.
Thank you. I wish we'd had this council 5 or 6 years ago. We wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now. The other thing I'd like to do is compliment Public Works for our crosswalk down at El Bordeaux. You know what? We haven't had any accidents down there. Something went wrong with it. They fixed it. From the people that live in that end of town, I can tell you, all the people in mobility scooters, everybody that have to cross here, we need sales tax here. We need a lot of things. Walmart, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing more important that can happen to this city than Walmart coming. As far as the Rothman Group and their property going into foreclosure, you know why? Because they needed Walmart. They didn't get it. The other property on the other corner, you know, those are just bare pieces of dirt right now. But let Walmart come in here, and those properties will be gain in value. Other developers, other people, I feel, will come in here and develop those properties. And unless they got an anchor like Walmart to come in, why should they? None of them are strong enough. I personally, my wife and I went to Walmart in Paso and spent about $200 over the weekend. Why couldn't we spend it in Atascadero, where we could have jobs for our people, sales tax for our people here? The other thing I don't understand here is that apparently a lot of the group that thinks Walmart should pay for everything is a deep pocket group. Walmart has money. The other corners don't have any money. So let's make Walmart pay for everything. So if we want a street repair done here, let's get a financial statement from everybody that lives on the street. Whoever's got the most money, make them pay for it. Doesn't matter that everybody's going to benefit from it. Doesn't matter that their property value is going to go up. The main thing is, let's go for the richest people. Let's go for the people that have the most money. For having Walmart to pay for the whole thing to me is ridiculous. They're going to pay their fair share as they do their thing. The other people are going to come in. The other properties are going to develop. They'll pay their share. And I just don't understand. This Walmart should have been open years ago. And I hope that we get through this. And I hope we start breaking ground and get something going. Anyway, I know this council is business friendly, and I hope you do the right thing for us. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Ms. Perkins?
Thank you. Good evening, staff and City Council. On March 27th, the City Council, at the meeting, Mayor Kelly concluded the community forum with no response to questions regarding a future study session explaining the questionable changes in the Walmart EIR and the recirculated EIR released in March. Who pays for what and where the money will come from? Instead, Mr. Kelly said the Brown Act would not allow a response. He said later he was advised to say this. I'm wondering who advised the mayor to say this. The City Council restriction of responses to public input during community forum violates the spirit and letter of California's Atascadero City Staff and Council governance last year. The grand jury mandated that the City Council and staff show more transparency to its citizens. However, this council continues to refuse to respond to concerned citizens like me when I bring you questions. Even in an election year where three of you are up for re-election, the silence is deafening at the end of community forum. The Walmart development is in its EIR process, and it is a matter of time before Walmart intrudes into our community. There are many safety mitigations that need to be satisfied. It will come down to this city body, our city council, to monitor the costs and mitigate for the safety of shoppers and neighbor residential dwellers to Walmart. The city staff can make recommendations, but the city council has the power to have the final say to approve or disapprove mitigations. We are all listening. The stock market Monday plunged because Walmart covered up the findings of their own internal probe that proved its Mexican subsidiary bribed officials in that country. If Walmart violated the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, it is a violation of U.S. law, and Walmart could face hundreds of millions of dollars of fines. Yet Walmart won't spend a couple of million for infrastructure mitigations in Atascadero. This is evidence of corporate immorality. The Bible condemns such dishonest behavior as bribery. Yes, this is the same corporate entity you would have us welcome to our town. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Perkins. Next speaker, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, council members. My name is Jeff Edwards. My background includes 30 years in land use and development in San Luis Obispo County. As your council knows, the Atascadero Unified School District is working on numerous projects within the district in connection with the $117 million bond measure. Development of a new junior high or middle school is the focus of my remarks tonight. I've been meeting with district administration and board members individually and collectively during regular board sessions since last summer. Presently, the board is considering the possibilities of reconstructing on the approximately 22-acre site opposite City Hall, the refurbished City Hall. On Friday, April 6th, the district hosted a meeting to explore various options, and city was represented. It is my belief that it is not in the best interest of the city or the school district to use 22,000 people to the dynamics of your downtown. An important economic driver currently absent from the downtown core is activity after typical closing times for businesses, that is 5 to 6 p.m. People in residential neighborhoods provide a 24/7 presence that achieves a critical mass of customers that may then patronize local small businesses. I submit to you it's not about potential sales tax for more commercial square footage, but about adding hundreds of customers to the economic equation on a daily basis. I believe the school district may be persuaded to pursue the Del Rio site for a new junior high or middle school under the right circumstances, and I have a handful of suggestions. First of all, confirm my premise regarding the need for the people, this critical mass I've described. I understand, as an example, that the Colony Square residential development that was planned is not going to be built. Secondly, elevate the discussion with your city school committee representatives and otherwise encourage school district admin staff and board members to remain open to the idea of building the new junior high middle school at Del Rio. And lastly, incentivize a Del Rio project. Talk about frontage improvements and other exactions that may be relaxed to and stimulate the school district. If we were to look at the per acre value of land and where that land is most valuable, your city could generate wealth not by raising taxes, but by better exploiting the economics of land use.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Your time is up.
Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Good evening, council members and Mayor Kelly. My name is Dan Revoir, and I'm the executive director of the San Luis Obispo County Bicycle Coalition. I forgive you, or I apologize for filling in for a colleague of mine, Angela Nelson, at Slow Regional Rideshare, and having a little miscommunication about the presentation at the beginning of your meeting this evening. I'm here to talk about Bike Month and to let you guys know some of the great opportunities that your community has built to get folks riding their bikes and back out into the environment in a healthy way. All of the month of May is Bike Month, brought to you by San Luis Obispo Regional Rideshare, an organization of the Council of the Governments. And throughout our county during Bike Month, part of the national celebration, we're encouraging people of all ages, all sizes, to get out there and ride their bikes. We participate in Bike Month and do what we do, and we're very excited about some events that are coming up this year as well. Some of the events that are coming along that are specific to Atascadero are the Bike to Bites event, which you probably heard about a little bit earlier. I'm going to leave a big stack of these flyers with details about Bike to Bites on the back table there for everyone to check out. And Bike to Bites is a really fun community event that starts, it's on May 9th, and it starts at the Community Center, Colony Square Park, at 3:30 p.m. and heads over to the Galaxy Theater for a free movie showing and pizza and other fun and games. So I want to thank your council members for being a part of that and for participating in the Mayor's Ride last year. We're very excited to be growing that event and making it not only a great way to remind people that riding their bikes is fun and an accessible way to get around, but also to take that to the next level and make it something that has a great economic impact as well. Following Bike to Bikes later in the month is a great educational opportunity for kids and community members to learn how to bike smart and bike safe. That's the Atascadero Bike Rodeo on May 26th, and there's more information posted about the Atascadero Bike Rodeo on the Bike Month website, rideshare.org. We're very excited to be collaborating on so many great events during Bike Month, and I'll go quickly through a few more opportunities for you all to get involved. One is the 6th Annual Online Commuter Bike Challenge. If you and your workplace is interested in participating in the Commuter Bike Challenge, you can do so by signing up online. We've got Bike to School Day, and we've got the Executive Challenge, which is an opportunity for community members that are leaders either in the city council and in government or leaders in local businesses to participate by riding their bike to work at least once during the month. And I'm going to provide each of you on the council with a little Executive Challenge application form. This allows you to pledge that you'll ride your bike at some point during the month and place your signature in the box here on this form, and your name will be listed along with all the other leaders in the community that are participating in Bike Month and riding. That will be published in the San Luis Obispo Tribune and hopefully a great way to remind folks how healthy and great riding their bikes can be. Since a number of you will be participating in Bikes to Bikes, I hope that you'll sign up for the Executive Challenge. And for those of you in the community at large, I hope you have a great Bike Month, and I hope to see you at some of our wonderful events. Thank you very much.
Go ahead, Jerry. A question.
Absolutely.
Have you seen the movie Breaking Away?
I have.
It's a great one, right?
It's a very good movie. It's one of the most famous biking movies of all time, and that was the movie chosen by the San Luis Obispo High School, or the...
Next speaker, please.
Good evening. Jim Wilkins, President of Atascadero Historical Society. Thanks, Mayor, Council, staff, and general public. I'd like to welcome everybody this Saturday to our Colony Home Tour. It's from 1 to 4 o'clock, and we have 5 houses on the tour, and then we have a reception following the tour at 4 o'clock down at the museum. And there is the cancer walk in the park this weekend, so part of the road will be closed, but there is part of East Mall open to get to the museum, so it looks a little confusing to people. We are open on Saturday at the museum. Tickets are $15 for member, $20 for non-members, and they can be picked up at Chamber from 8 to 5 during the week, or at the Colony Museum Wednesday, 1 to 4, and then this Saturday we'll be open at the museum also with the ticket sales.
Thank you.
And I'd also like to debut one more thing. 2 weeks ago, we debuted a couple wood products. We had a loose leaf binder that had leather straps on it, and I was talking about a deluxe book, and we now have a deluxe binder book that has a wood hinge on it, and it has a spine on the back made out of wood, and it goes through the colony period from the Henry Ranch to the Henry House, through the passing of the deed, through the surveying, through the construction of the building, the laying of the pipe, through the main buildings in the Civic Center, and then it goes into the colony homes. And the proceeds also from this book are going to go to help us get back in the rotunda, which will start next March, and it'll help the presence of the historic information and stuff inside of the Civic Center. So we now have these books available to the general public for...
Jimmy, what time does the home tour start, and does it start from?
It starts at any one of the houses. Once you get your ticket, there's a map on the back, and you can start at any location. You can spend as much time at any one of the houses. There's no timeline. You can stay all day at one house or quickly go to a mall and go back. You can keep backtracking. There's no rhyme or reason to where you want to go, so it's very nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
So, Tom, your house is on tour?
On tour again.
Oh, be darned. Well, that's great. That's great.
Ice cream?
Yeah. Ice cream at the Colony House when the event is...
Cold Stone.
Well, there's always that.
Is there any other public comment this evening? If not, I'll close the public comment. I would just like to say that some of the items that were mentioned tonight regarding Walmart It's an open process. The EIR is still out there. It's open for public comment. Your comments will be answered. There'll be public hearings regarding the Walmart process, where you also have the opportunity to make public comments in an agendized item at the Planning Commission and at the City Council. Any additional information that you may want regarding numbers or what have you are available through the city clerk, and we are open, we are transparent, and we're willing to provide you with any additional information that you require.
And Bob, I have one question for Wade in regards to the fees in regards to the Rotman Group. Anyone that develops that property will have to pay the fees, whether it be the Rotman Group or whoever happens to purchase it or whatever. Is that not right, Wade?
That's correct. At this time, that is the project, includes the annex and the Walmart project. So if they're the owner or someone else develops the project, there would be that requirement.
Thank you.
And regarding Mr. Edwards and the school issue, that's basically up to the school board. They have complete control over that, and the city is, we really don't have a lot of say in that. So any of your efforts, I would direct towards the school board on that. And with that, the community forum is closed. We have no public hearings this evening. The management report, number C1, has been eliminated. Let me see. Well, we've done the parking lot. Oh, I missed that. Okay, next one is the strategic planning, and I'm not quite sure. Wade, are you putting that
yes,
one
up? Yes, thank you very much. Mayor and Council, as you know, we've conducted strategic planning at the City Council level and actually throughout our organization now for about 15 years. And we credit it with much of the success for focusing our efforts and keeping our organization healthy. Again, early this year, the process was that redevelopment isn't going to be a bump in the road for the council. In fact, we want to continue a majority of our efforts. We may use more back, more brawn than money, but the city council maintained a positive set of goals and it was not going to be deflected by the redevelopment issue. The three goals for the City Council continue to be to pursue our economic development opportunities, enhance public safety, and stabilize city finances. In the economic development goal, we talked a lot about promoting the community, and I'm going to get to that in a second. We also talked about the existing projects development and how we're going to be wrapping those up. Continue to concentrate on the commercial hotspots, and they may be even more important as this economy continues to be with us. And lastly, we talked a great deal about parking, and there's a parking report on your agenda this evening. On the promotions, tourism, marketing, we spent a great deal of effort, and there was a laundry list, if you will, of promotion ideas and programs that the City Council had developed, and many concerns about promoting in a more significant way our city, the great things going on in Atascadero, both from a staff perspective, but to have an outside person or persons or firm that would actually do some promotion for the community. We have been at a staff level interviewing other cities, some key promotion and lodging and tourism players in the region, in the and in Atascadero, and some marketing companies to try to get a baseline of all the things that could or would or should be done. And of course, we've had a great experience with SW Martin, so there's a great deal of stuff we know on our own that we've learned in the last year and a half working with Mr. Martin in that program. So we're proposing as the next step for that, that on May 8th, much like this evening at 4:45, we'd like to begin a workshop with City Council and sit down for an hour and kind of refine, tell you what we learned, hear more specifically what the council would like to do. We want to try to keep this on a relatively short, I know you want to keep it on a shorter time frame than we do. We're trying to keep it on a tight time frame. So that as we create highlights with the training
the DRT and the many and things that the police and fire departments and others have been involved in. Training is a big issue for us, and of course now we have, in fact, I think it's tonight, the citizen emergency response training class in the north part of the county, Heritage Ranch tonight. So that's a program really kicked off by the persistence of this council. We also have technology issues that we've been dealing with and will continue to deal with and hope to use technology to our advantage, keep on the leading edge of public safety. Training, of course, the impacts of Eagle Ranch, focusing on our core services is very much a highlight. And as you've seen tonight with the promotion of Joe Allen, we have great quality staff in both of the departments. We're really excited about what's going on there and continue to hold that as one of our top priorities. And lastly, stabilizing city finances, continuing with our budget and reminding just that the California Society of Municipal Finance Officers recognized us again for an award of excellence in our budget preparation. Continue the economic development efforts in your first goal. Implement a more expansive volunteer program. We continue to look for volunteer opportunities. And continue to monitor and report on financial information. As you recall, we're trying to do that, work a little more closely with the council and do that more often, and continue our effective stewardship of local and state government or environments and resources. These are the goals that we talked about. We've created a series of action plans. We talked a lot about recognizing the environment we're in, the major projects that we have to do, and trying to focus our efforts on some laser issues so that we continue the business-friendly and positive outlook that the City Council has set forth, but focus it enough that we can sustain the effort given the economic conditions that the whole world is dealing with, and certainly us here in Atascadero and those staff resources with the big committed projects we have like Walmart, Eagle Ranch, and others. So if there are any questions specifically about action items, I know you're going to review them several times and individually as we come up with each of them. The first next one would be just before your next council meeting. That would be the promotions one.
Fine, thank you, Mr. McKinney. Are there any questions of the
council? What are we doing on Facebook?
We have a variety of things on Facebook, actually. If you go to Facebook, we're doing better and better. We're getting a handle on it, and I think more and more people are using it. It's an exponential move, really, I think, as people start to move toward those different social medias. Frankly, I didn't think I would ever be on it, and of course now it's a daily issue that we're dealing with.
Thank you.
It's right behind me.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I've noticed that we are having more press releases. Is the press actually picking up on that and using them and putting them into news places?
You know, I think that we heard what you had to say at strategic planning, and so one of the things we actually added to the department head calendar was we're evaluating all of the programs that are going on in each of the departments and making sure that we report out better in the news how they why we're doing them, how they further your goals, and gaining council quotes for them. So as council members are actually quoted in press releases, we're getting more activity, and we're reporting significantly more on the items that we're doing. And, of course, Mr. Martin has made great inroads into a variety of the media and has built us a relationship. So even like on Friday, my first call, just before I called the mayor on the Mission Bank thing, was, Steve, we can make this work on Friday at 9 o'clock, right? And he said, yes, go ahead and start making your calls. So, Steve is already putting that together. So I think you guys reaching out, that relationship that you talked about continuing some sort of promotional activity and a stepped-up effort on behalf of all our departments is showing a change.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fine. Is there any public comment? Without any public comment, I'll close that and bring it back to the City Council for a motion.
Well, I would like to comment now just briefly, and I do appreciate I think we are on track with our goals. I do think, as I say, everything I want to do costs money, so I think that's why our council has consistently put economic development as our number one goal. And I do think promotion was a good, broader definition from where we started with marketing or tourism. We want to promote our entire city. We think we have a lot to offer. I also think one of our principal goals is we really want alignment in our community. We want to all be pulling at these times. I see that look on the city manager's face. We did agree to 4%, right?
No, we were at 1. We went to 2.
Well, I'm just optimistic. Well, we'll have to have that. Well, now you know what we're thinking for a preview of where we would like to go.
I think we're always open for change.
Yes. So I don't have any more to add on that. I think it's good that we're having this additional input time. We make sure we're all in agreement, but we really want to be our community pulling together.
But as the program, as I see it, and I hope it works, I think it'll be good for the community, because any service club or organization that may have an event going on anywhere within town will be able to utilize the promotion department of the city to get that information out. So it'll be good for the whole community. And I really look forward to putting a good program together, and I think we'll definitely get our money's worth and more back from it. So
yes.
With that, I'll look for a motion, unless there's further comment.
Okay. Yeah, the strategic planning session we had, I think, went extremely well, and I'm very glad to see something we have a plan that is actually workable, doable, and measurable. So often in today's environment, people have lofty goals and ideas, but sometimes it's very hard to achieve. So actually, I really appreciate the fact that it's down to earth, real, and something we can measure. So, and with that, if no other comments, I would make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation for this item.
I'll second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Fine, thank you. Moving on to item number 3 is the downtown parking opportunities, and the city manager, I believe, will. Okay.
Do we need to do ex parte? I know I've had several meetings.
Sure.
I know I have met with Mr. Weisong this last week to talk about parking. I have received several emails from various owners of businesses downtown as well.
Well, I'll comment. I have discussed this topic with several people in the downtown area, and I did receive a few emails on it today.
Yes, I happened to drop in on one of the first meetings with Mr. Weisong with staff on this topic, and then have received a lot of community input from businesses. But this has been a topic we've been talking about for some time with our community.
I, too, have also spoken with Mr. Weisong and with several of the business owners in the downtown. So,
fine. With that, Mr. Lewis, would you like to make the presentation, please?
Yes. Good evening, Mayor and members of council. We're pleased to do this tonight. This actually is one of the key components of the plan you just approved. And so anticipating that, staff is efficient, and we already have a parking program put together. Little humor. It's not that late yet. Nonetheless, we anticipated your approval of the plan, and parking has been very important to you in the downtown area, and the Office of Economic Development has been working with Main Street and downtown property owners on some solutions which we believe will be effective. So as downtown continues to become more successful, this is what we were looking for. It's been our plan. Parking is getting tighter. The good news is a lot of that, I think, is perception. There is some good opportunity, which we'll show you tonight. And there are some great public-private opportunities that we believe, and we've been good at creating those, and I think that will be key to our solution, working with our private sector landowners and businesses as we look to ease the parking challenge. And this is a really good time to review these options, because it isn't a problem yet. It's definitely getting there, and we want to be ahead of the curve, and you definitely are. The goal for downtown was to be the social, cultural, and entertainment hub of the community. That's been in our general plan. That was in your downtown revitalization plan 8 years ago, and I think we're getting there. Since in the last few years, you've opened Galaxy Theater, new restaurants. We now have 5 art galleries downtown. You have a wine bar, brewery, coffee houses. Molly Pitcher will be opening next month, and there's some spas and specialty retail. And so downtown is becoming that place that we've envisioned it to be for a long time. There's been some significant public improvements. You've invested in circulation, in streetscape, in the bridge, and in events at Sunken Garden by putting in the paths and the power and all the things that you've been doing, and that has led to the special events. Those have followed. So the public investment has been leveraged with private investment in action as well. And the new art crawl, that's really quite something. I don't know if it's the last Friday of the month, and this is something the businesses have just picked up and done on their own. And this is that energy that we're seeing downtown. And so with the Art Crawl and the Art and Wine Walk and the Main Street Association putting on several events. So things are definitely occurring, which is success. Downtown has become a place that we want to hang out and be. And it just more so, it seems, we're having a ribbon cutting for a business every month. And we hope that energy continues. But parking is indeed becoming a challenge at certain times. And those times seem to be lunch hours during the week around the Carlton area, and then around Colony Square on Thursdays, more so Friday, Saturday, and, of course, Tuesday for the $5 movie night. And so we've wanted to put some strategies together. We have met with Main Street and business owners and presenting these to you. And so here are some of the strategies we're recommending. We're going to be recommending near-term strategies, intermediate strategies, and long-term strategies. And you'll see some of these may be familiar. We went through the parking study that was approved in 2006. Many of those have already been incorporated. We've added some lots. We've added some public parking signage. We've done several of the things. But there were some recommendations that were not. And so you may see some of those. You will see some of those this evening. So we did want to host a meeting with downtown property owners to discuss shared parking, employee parking, and other parking opportunities. This occurred yesterday. And it was attended by 8 to 10 business owners and people downtown. It was a good sample. Very good energy, very cooperative discussion. I think people are very willing to help and work with us, and that was just a good step. There was not a, it's the city's fault or the business's fault. Very cooperative, a good base for us to work from. So I'm very pleased to report that. And I think they saw many of these recommendations and were supportive of them. So one of the first things, I think, is that we need to designate employee parking areas. And this is a challenge. We actually just did a little survey today. We walked through, again, I'm going to be speaking to two different areas. Colony Square and the area around the theater is a problem, and around the Carlton and West Entrada and West Traffic Way. This is where we really kind of see this problem. At Colony Square, we counted the number of patrons in K-Pasa and Cold Stone and Subway and to the number of vehicles that were parked outside. And there is a significant discrepancy, which would lead you to believe that the vehicles outside the locations were not necessarily customers. They were employees. And approximately 8 to 9 of those vehicles, we believe, were employee vehicles. That's a challenge. And so some of the business owners found that it's hard for... They're looking for more than just themselves to tell their employees you should not park right in front of your store. And so as we were talking with them, there is a role, we believe, for the city to encourage employees parking not in front of stores, and so creating employee parking lots. And so we looked at that, and we have worked out some employee parking areas around Colony Square and around the Carlton that the business owners agreed to. And so if you approve the plan this evening, what we would do is prepare a notice from the Office of Economic Development that business owners could hand out to their employees saying where the areas are that the employees should be parking, and that we'll be keeping an eye. We're not proposing enforcement or anything else, but we really want to voluntarily encourage employees to park away from the prime commercial spots. If today's survey was any example, we believe this will open tens of parking spots in Colony Square and around the Carlton. And so those spaces we've designated, for example, near the Carlton, are behind Founders Bank. They've agreed to let us use some of their spaces. The Jack in the Box property owners have agreed to let us use that space. Parking on East Mall. So these are some places where some are across the street to as far as two blocks. In the letter that we'll be sending, we are encouraging the reasons why this is. That this continues to help build the economy, helps businesses be successful. It's good for you and your employment. And further, we also recommend that if it's an evening shift, that one of the recommendations we received yesterday is that you have buddy systems as you're going back and forth to your car to be safe as you park in these locations. So those are the kind of things that we will look to putting in this letter and designating these employee parking areas and educating business owners on where those are. We think that will be a valuable initiative. Shared parking near the theater. Rabobank has graciously agreed to allow their lot to be used. That was the case since the theaters opened. It's a matter of public education. I don't think people know that they can park there or they park there at all. And so we'll talk about how we direct people there. We want to pursue a hotel park in Bank of America. Those property owners were gracious when we had the Eagle Ranch meeting here the night of $5 movie night. Parking worked well, so we want to explore those other opportunities. And so what we need to do then is to develop temporary signage. This is not what I'm recommending, but something along this nature that can be put out by theater employees on these peak nights that say theater parking. I think as motorists see where they can park and they're directed to these spaces, it'll make it far less confusing. And people won't automatically just head on into the Colony Square complex. Another short-term idea is education. We need to educate patrons and motorists where parking is, and so this is kind of a mock-up of a parking guide that we're developing. The parking guide will be on display at different businesses. It kind of ties into our business-friendly permit brochure, kind of the classic 101 feel. You can see that here in the brochure. We would also, involved in this, have some media information. Mr. Remkes of Galaxy Theater has agreed to let us put some slides up before movies about places to park. And have you considered parking here? We want to have some fun with the slides, have some high energy so people look at them and see that there are other parking spots. There really is plenty of parking within a block of the theater in each direction. It's a matter of educating people where it is and making sure that it's safe. And we'd also take advantage of the Facebook and social media that you just saw to highlight places you can park. And so that's something we're also proposing. Now we're looking, so those are things we would immediately do. So there's an education program, employee parking, signage. We believe that that will make an immediate impact, and the business owners did as well. These are intermediate term. What does that mean? That could be 6 months to 18 months, and they do require some action. Again, restriping portions of El Camino. There's been several discussions about that at the council level, and you've had some concerns. I know some of you had discussions with business owners that you just disclosed about ways this might be able to work, and so that is something you could do, but we need to identify funding for that. We do not have a funding source. Restriping private lots in the downtown. Again, we've had a few business people say, hey, if you slurried our parking lot, we let you and restriped it, you could record an easement for parking there, and we would share that with you. We don't have a funding source for that, but that has been an opportunity that has appeared. And the days of the redevelopment agency. And then designate additional parking opportunities at Colony Square. There's been a lot of talk about why can't we just take down all the fences and park on the dirt lots. We need to make sure that this traffic circulation pattern isn't designed for that. So you don't want to have chaos in the dirt lots, and there'd be liability for the landowners. But we really hope, we're working with Colony Square now on a potential redesign, that those will be developed as they have gotten now their long-term financing, the guarantee's been returned, they're in a different financial position to now start moving forward. Those dirt pads are all buildings. That is the energetic village that we've always aspired to have. And so to just have people park on the dirt and have a building pop up and you've displaced that parking. That said, we want to make sure that their architect is looking at, are there other parking opportunities that would fit into future design of the project, and look at that. And so that's something that staff has already been talking to that project architect about. In longer term, you could restripe West Mall, just as you have East Mall, to have angled parking and designate West Mall as a one-way street. Again, that requires a funding source. There could be a parking opportunity at the Hoff property, which is the site of the thrift shop. There's a lot of opportunity there as that site is redeveloped. Again, that's challenging without redevelopment, but there still are some things staff is trying to work through there. And then the City Hall Administration Building parking lot will reopen long-term again. That will provide several spaces when the building construction is completed. So those are some of the things we wanted to share with you. We'd like you to comment and give us feedback on the plan. And if it meets your consensus, we'll move forward.
Thank you, Jim. Jerry, do you have some comments? We'll start up that way.
You know, the question, Jimbo, the question that, that people always throw at me is, why don't we build a parking structure? And I know I talked to Wade about it today, but as I recall a few years back, it was like $30,000 for each parking space and
going up daily. So you could be up to 50,000 depending on ground conditions, quality, aesthetic of the structure. So you're looking at $3 to $4 to $5, $6 million pretty quick for a parking structure.
So for three parking spaces, it could be over 100,000. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. As opposed to when you're restriping something, you're in the low $10,000 to $20,000.
Right, range. And then the when we finish construction, how many spaces will we have? Do you have any idea? Just a guesstimate.
92 spaces.
92. That'll be great. That'll be great, yeah. And okay, and then I think handouts might be good from, you know, in regards to the parking. I know it's neat that they're going to have it on the screen, but if they had handouts at Cold Stone Creamery and a few places, the Mexican restaurant and stuff, show them where the parking is just for a short period of time, Yeah, the other thing is, Bob and I walked out of here about two meetings ago, and we said, Bob said, did you ever believe that there'd be that many cars in a Tascadero at one time? I thought, what is going on? It was great.
Yes, a question. I was wondering, what's it going to cost, or do we have an estimate for the restriping?
Let me look back. I don't recall off the top of my head. It seemed like it was in the range of $40,000 to $50,000.
Okay, that's not too bad.
That's what I seem to recall, and I think you may hear from Main Street later that what they will be discussing is a modified version, a smaller version of that, so it could be less.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I'm with Jerry. I like the idea of encouraging businesses to post maps of where you can park. I think that's a great idea. And also I'd like to see them post a map in their break rooms of where employees could park and hand out a map in their new employee information. If they give out a packet, that should also be in there. Thank you.
You know, I think that's a good idea. I know every employee has got a wall with all of the rules that everybody has to follow. I think if the city could provide a nice document that would fit up there would be real good and identify where these parking spaces are. I think it's Denny's where we actually do have a recorded easement for it's either 5 or 10 parking spaces for employees of other businesses, I think is how that is designated there. And I think I like the idea of the city putting out the information where the parking lots are and everything else, but I think it's up to the employer to instill upon their employees where they have to park, and I think you can implement the golden rule with that he who has the money kind of controls that. And I don't think the city, we have any business telling their employees what to do. I think that's the responsibility of the employer. The employers, I've gotten a couple inquiries from employers that I don't have any places to park, and just like you said, you drive around and you can identify a lot of them are employees. So I think that's up to the employer to take care of that issue of it. As far as the striping goes, I don't know if the city can get some of our crews to do that. I notice as I drive through town, they can paint the limit lines and the stop stuff in the street and what have you. I don't know if we can use our city staff and our equipment to do that striping. I don't think it's that big of a project where we're trying to stripe a half a mile or so. I don't know how many spaces are involved, but it seems like there should be a way we could utilize our city staff. And I mean, even if maybe we had to pay overtime, it could be a lot cheaper. But I think that might be something that we could look into.
Thank you. All ideas I heard, I think, are very good. I won't comment on the ones other council members have already addressed. But I do think it's good to look at the diagonal parking downtown. I know when we've looked at our regional tourism studies and the one we did specifically for Atascadero, one thing that's a good byproduct as you slow traffic down, folks start noticing businesses, and if you're just zooming through, you don't tend to even notice what is going on. So I think there's a benefit by that traffic calming by shrinking that lane. My only concern with going to the diagonal and on El Camino is we've done a good job of getting bike paths all around our community. I was a concern that I talked with Mr. Weissong about, but I do think, especially with our work on looking at bike routes, and our police chief has been very good at taking a look at this. I think we can have some alternate routes downtown that will actually be safer and better, and it'll allow us to direct traffic in some parallel paths, especially with our new Lewis Avenue Bridge. So I think I want to make sure that as we give up that bike lane on El Camino, that we also remember we need to stripe those bike lanes on an alternate route, because I think that will be part of the solution as well. As part of Bike Month, we've had a lot of conversations with businesses that through the private sector donations, there are businesses willing to donate the payment of buying bike racks for the downtown. And I think as we promote that and make that clear where those bike routes are, especially in summertime and for youth, that could really help us on some parking additions as well. I especially like the idea of what I've talked about as portable infrastructure. This is kind of an example when you look at those temporary parking directional signs. I think those, I'd really give some thought and think that through with our downtown businesses, because I think you could have some generic signs that could be used during any special event or particularly overload nights. We could have used some out at the community center when we had our 500 ladies at a ladies conference and a few other activities. I think that's a good thing to invest in. I also think it's very helpful if we can have some special event maps. I know when we have done some special events around town, Warren did an outstanding job of giving me a true overview picture of our community and then overlaid where all the parking spaces are, and then we could show volunteers and folks coming to the from out of the area, kind of give them a visual picture where the parking was. I think that was very helpful. And I think as we know where all of our parking spaces are around town, and as you make that available on websites or others, I know in events that I've done, we make that available on our website where you can print out a picture of all the parking spaces. And I think especially guests coming from out of the area to an event would find that helpful. So I think staff's doing a good job, and I support these recommendations.
Yes, I echo that. I think you guys did an outstanding job. I like your I like this pamphlet thing you're talking about. I like the fact of that being on, in the social media as well. So not only do you have it in your hand, but you can go online. You can see where there's a park. The temporary signs, great idea. Get off the freeway. Nothing I hate more than getting to town I'm not familiar with, and where do I park? Where do I go? What do I do? So the fact that it's there, that's a great idea. I'm concerned about the employee parking. I have two daughters who work in the downtown, in that area, and they're young ladies. So when they leave their work to go to their cars, I'm concerned about that. So safe is very important. Employers having the buddy system, or well lit, or closer to their businesses, or there's a way you can work between businesses and areas where that can be. That would be a safety is very, very important to me when it comes to those young people down there. I like the idea of the diagonal parking downtown. I would like to see it expanded even beyond what we had talked about originally. I'd like to go north of Traffic Way as well on El Camino. There's a lot of businesses on the north end of town that are struggling with some of the parking, that little alleyway behind businesses, that kind of thing. It's a tough place to pull up to when it's just the vertical right against the curb, and there's not people are reluctant to go behind into that alley. So I'd like to see not only if we can find the money to do something on the Hoff property, I think we can find some money, or we can find a way that we can possibly work out doing some striping and maybe even expanding that. But that's another conversation. We have to talk about money. So these are great ideas. Like Tom says, there's nothing he hasn't seen that he wouldn't like to build, but he has to have money to pay for it. So we do have to think about that. So that's a conversation as well as all of these. But good job. I thank you very much for your hard work, and thank you.
Fine. Without any council comments, I'll open it to the public. Is anyone from the public that would like to speak on this? If not, I'll close public comment. Whoop. I didn't know if I could wait much longer. The anticipation was overwhelming.
We can take a break while he's walking up there.
Okay, I'd like to close public.
I'm Larry Weisong from Atascadero Main Street. I want to thank the City Council for the support on the traffic, the parking. We really need it in town, and I think it's going to make a big difference. But we really need to move on it and make it happen, because we're having a problem, and it's going to cost us all business and customers. So thanks for your support.
Well, thank you, Larry, for all the efforts that you have been put into this with Main Street. And as an individual, we really appreciate it. Kelly, did you want to comment? Okay, fine. I'll close the public comment right now. And I don't think we need to have a motion or a vote on this. I think you understand what we're talking about.
I'll just make one last comment, if
Mr.
I may.
Mr. O'Malley, sure.
You know, I'll be brief, but I want to echo what Mr. Weisong said. I truly believe this is one of those investments with a payoff, and that the sooner you do it, the sooner the benefits accrue. And I think we need to look to get this implemented soon, because I truly believe adding parking spaces is adding customers, which generates revenue for everyone. So,
I think speaking for the council, we'd like to endorse this and put it up towards the top of the list. Okay. And with that, I'll move on to item number four, the housing element. And probably Warren, is that going to be your show?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is our annual housing report, and the purpose of it is to report to the state of California how we're doing in terms of providing affordable housing, which is a requirement of our general plan housing element. As we'll probably recall, there's a thing called the Regional Housing Needs Allocation, or RHNA, which is a housing target number that's allocated to the city from the state. So this is basically our annual report to the state to report what kind of progress we're making toward our affordable housing targets and goals. So the RHNA number is, as I mentioned, generated by the state of California. SLOCOG administers it throughout the county. So when the number comes down for the county, then SLOCOG works with all the cities to figure out a distribution. So a share of the housing goes to each of the cities as well as the county. The purpose of the RENA number is to assure that there's adequate sites that are zoned appropriately to accommodate the affordable housing requirements for an area. These allocations are not quotas. We're not required to actually build the units, but we are required to provide the zoning so that it's as easy as possible for the development community to provide these units, and we need to figure out ways to reduce obstacles and encourage them. So although they're not quotas, they are targets, and we do have to take proactive steps to reduce barriers and encourage these units to be built. So the reporting period that we're working under right now is the period of time from 2007 to 2014. Our current allocation is for 462 units, and those are broken up into four categories. Those four categories... Oh, I'm done. No. All right. The four categories we have is very low income, moderate income, and then above moderate income. So here is our allocations for the 462 units. So our allocation was for 106 very low-income units, 74 low-income units, 88 moderate units, and 194 above moderate units. So the idea is over this 7-year period, that is the target of the types of units that we were supposed to plan for. Just to go over what are these income categories, because that's always fairly confusing to everyone. It's based on median income, so the state sets these definitions. So a very low income unit would be a unit that's affordable to somebody that makes 50% of the median income. And there's different calculations for whether these are units that you purchase or whether they're rental units. So there's two sets of numbers to determine that. Low income or lower income would be 80% of median income. Moderate income would be up to 120% of median income. And then above moderate would be anybody that makes over 120% of the median income in the county. So the moderate income rate for the county right now is $174,000 for a four-person household. So very low income would be $37,000 or less in terms of annual income. Lower income is about $60,000. Above moderate, it's basically $89,000 and above.
Warren, that fluctuates too, doesn't it? I know I get a report, I think, from the county monthly or quarterly, and it goes up and down.
It does. So the
Warren, you said $174,000.
I meant to say $74,000. That would be substantially higher, right? The county does issue different numbers every month, and the main factor that changes the affordability index is the interest rate. So as interest rates drop or increase, that also affects the affordability rate. This is a graph that shows how our building permit activity has changed during the reporting period. So back in 2006, 2007, we were still in the midst of the building boom. So you can see we were issuing over 230 permits a year for residential construction in 2006. And you can see this decline happened fairly quickly, where by 2008 we were down to 22 permits. Our bottom was in 2009, where we issued 8 residential permits. We slowly started to recover, and in 2011, this reporting period, we were up to 29 permits, so back to about the 2008 levels. So we are seeing our housing production slowly start to increase. So we had 123% increase over last year's or 2010's activities. We are making progress in terms of meeting our regional housing need targets. To date, during the reporting period, we've provided 55% of the housing that we were targeted for. So we've provided 30% of the moderate income units, 14% of the low income units, and 13% of the very low income units. So we're making pretty good progress. We've checked with some of the other surrounding cities about how they're doing. We are actually ahead of both San Luis Obispo City and San Luis Obispo County in terms of meeting our targets. We're just a little bit behind Paso Robles. They're leading the county in housing production at this point. This is a table that just shows that breakdown of how we're producing units by year. This is part of what we submit to the state, and all those detailed reports are in your staff report. The dissolution of the RDA does affect our housing production. Obviously, the redevelopment agency was a key tool to assist in the provision of affordable housing. We had money set aside that we could use to help fund or sponsor affordable housing projects. The general plan housing element assumed over this reporting period that we would be able to produce 120 affordable units partially through redevelopment funding. So as that goes away, that is going to change our ability to provide or encourage those units. So that will be something that as we move into our next housing element cycle, we'll have to address how we're going to do that without RDA in the future. So that's more just kind of an issue of note at this point. In terms of just some overall trends we thought the council might be interested in, our dormant permit program is definitely working. We've seen a lot of foreclosed projects that are now being restarted, and that's because we have the dormant program where we've kept all these permits on file and all the plans around so that these new buyers and owners can come in and fairly quickly resurrect the project. We've also seen that the market rate housing prices are now pretty much equivalent to the moderate income group prices. So that's good in terms of it makes housing a lot more affordable for families and workers who want to move to Atascadero. And 2012, just in this first 4 months, we've seen a substantial uptick in applications for new housing projects, which we see as a promising trend. So as I mentioned, the dormant permit program has been successful. So the five big projects that were in the dormant permit program include Dove Creek, the Las Lomas specific plan, Villas at Montecito, Southside Villas condominiums, and then Oak Grove 2. So we have applications in now from all five of these projects to restart construction. Actually, Southside Villas doesn't have applications in, but we've been working very closely with a new buyer, and we expect that to get restarted. So in this first 4 months of the year, we've received 60 building permit applications already. And you'll remember we only issued 29 residential permits last year. So this year we should be substantially above. So we definitely are seeing an uptick, which will help us with permit revenues, which will help the city in general. So the recommendation is that the City Council authorize submittal of this 2011 housing element annual report to the state of California. The Planning Commission has also reviewed this report, and they are also supporting submittal of it to the state of California. So that'll conclude staff's report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Warren. That was real good to hear those positive numbers and the growth from last year. Are there any comments from the City Council? If not, I'll open up for public comment. Seeing that there's no public comment, I'll close public comment. And I guess, do we need a motion on this?
I think that'd be appropriate.
Fine.
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation and submit the report.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes. Thank you.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is item number 5, General Plan Amendment, 2012, timing exception. Warren?
Yes, thank you. This is just a minor housekeeping item. In our general plan, we have a requirement that general plan amendments for private development projects be heard either in March or September of any calendar year. This rule was added to the general plan back in the early 2000s when we had a lot of project applications competing for time in front of the council, so we had to have a policy to limit that. That isn't the issue anymore. We do have a big project, though, pending, which is the Walmart Annex-specific plan. We do need flexibility on when we hear that project, so what we're asking the council for tonight is authorization to hear that project any time during this calendar year. We haven't used any general plan amendments to date, so we don't see this as being a decision that would affect any other projects. And it is something that is allowed in the general plan, so the general plan foresees the ability of the council to make special provisions for special projects. We believe this would qualify in this case, and we are recommending that the council adopt the attached resolution that would allow the project to be heard when it's ready.
Fine, thank you. Are there any questions from the City Council? If not, I'll open it to public comment. Seeing that there's no public comment, I'll bring it back to the City Council for a motion, please.
Make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0,
thank you.
Motion passes.
Moving on to item number 6, Lake Park frontage signage. Mr. Thompson?
I'll give a second while they queue up the PowerPoint. Yeah, is that better? Okay. Tonight we're discussing just a minor detail on the Lake Park frontage project. As you know, the project's under construction and is making good progress at the site. One of the component parts of that project is the signage package. Thank you, Marcia. Is the signage package for the Lake Park frontage. They have submitted details from the manufacturer of the sign. And let me back up now that we're up and going. There. So tonight we're asking Council to approve the proposed text and graphics for the main monument sign. As I said, the project's under construction. Sign package has been submitted and is under review. I realize these are a little small, but there's three sign components to the project. There is the monument sign, which has the rock pilasters and wood framing meeting the Lake Park master plan and architectural criteria. That's the one. That'll be the monument sign at the driveway entrance off of Morro Road into the zoo parking lot. It'll be closest to that. Down Morro Road towards Portola will be the banner holder. That is just shown for information purposes, as there's no change proposed to that. And then, of course, there's the Veterans Memorial sign. And many, some of you attended the groundbreaking. They're well into their fundraising, and it. Talking to Mr. Quinones this morning, it sounds like things are going good on that front. So the subtle change tonight that we would like your input and approval for is here's the sign as it's been presented in the past, the monument sign, and it had three lines of text. Or at the top it said Atascadero Lake Park, in the middle it said Charles Paddock Zoo, and on the bottom it said the Veterans Memorial, and then at the very bottom it had the address. In talking to the sign manufacturer, the script Atascadero and Charles Paddock and Veterans text for that sign being cast into the concrete is just really too small. I think it would be, you know, almost illegible, and we might end up becoming a problem long term as those real fine letters begin to deteriorate. So, and also at the staff level, we've had discussion about now that the veteran sign looks like it's going to happen and it should be being constructed in the very near future, that perhaps it would be more appropriate to have the pavilion name on the monument sign, as it doesn't, right now, it doesn't have any wayfinding signage. And one of our reoccurring issues for events at the pavilion is that people sometimes have trouble finding it, and that so staff's recommendation is, as we go over here to the right, there's no change to the sign at all. So it's the same architecture, same materials, same logo at the top, same rock pilasters. The only differences are these three lines of text, where it would say in bigger, bolder letters, Lake Park with a line between it, zoo, and then pavilion. So it simplifies it. I think as driving public travels down Morro Road, it'll make it easier for them to see the names and know that that's the location. So that's what's there tonight, is just bringing this text change to you. I have talked with the Veterans Society or Veterans Group, Jimmy Quinones, and he was fine. He thought that with their sign coming along and being in place at this point, that he had no problem with the word or the text pavilion being substituted for the veteran sign.
Fine, thank you. Comments?
Yes. Hey, Charles Paddock has to be on there. There wouldn't be a zoo if it wasn't for him. He created it. He did it. His name has to be on there. Take Pavilion off. Put Charles Paddock on there as big as possible. The zoo is there because of him.
I have a question about the word Atascadero. Is it also leaving above Atascadero Lake Park?
Yeah, the script Atascadero that was right there between the logo emblem and Lake Park was a script Atascadero. That is being proposed. That's one of the things we're looking for your suggestion. Is that the logo would still be there, so that the city emblem would be embossed and cast into the sign, but it would just say Lake Park.
Thank you. And I understand your concerns, Councilmember Clay, but I want people to be able to read it. I think that's primary. We can put Charles Paddock right on the zoo, and it is. I want him to get there, though. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think removing that, a fine example of that is our billboards where it says Atascadero. Unless you stop and put your glasses on, you don't see it. And I think the identification of the bigger letters is important. But I also agree somewhat with Jerry that it's got to be the Charles Paddock Zoo. And I think, like Roberta says, we need to get them up there. And I think we need to work on that. We still got some work that we're doing at the zoo, and we can implement the recognition that he deserves.
Well, you know, if nothing else, just Paddock Zoo then. I mean, let's make it big. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, there wouldn't have been a zoo if it was for him. He created it. It was his deal. I know you're not arguing with me.
No, I'm not. I think if we can get him to the zoo, I would like to see where people can actually stop and read about Charles Paddock, and we can have like a kiosk or something that explains how.
Well, that ain't good enough for me. I mean, it's been Charles Paddock Zoo forever. I mean, what are we doing here? Now all of a sudden it's just zoo. Okay.
We'll have deliberation a little bit later.
Right. You have any comments?
I do, and again, I think the priority is visibility, and it gets back to that issue of driving by and being directed. I think it was very good that we're separating out the locations, and I think it's very good what the Veterans Memorial's done with the sign by the road to the Veterans Memorial says Veterans Memorial. Then the next road you take in says Lake Park and Zoo. That's the road you take to Lake Park and Zoo. I could go either way. I agree. I've got some nostalgia for Charles Paddock, and I would consider having Lake Park and then Charles Paddock Zoo on this sign, and then someday a third sign that says Pavilion on the next road down, because the fact is there's three roads. One of them goes to the Veterans Memorial. One you take to get to Lake Park and the zoo, and it's the next road that you take to really get to the parking for the Pavilion, and folks often miss that, and so that is something that we could consider. But I do think it's important that it's legible, and I don't want to cram any more in. I think if you're going to put Charles Paddock Zoo, you'd have Lake Park, then Charles Paddock, Lake Park line, Charles Paddock Zoo. It would be line two and line three without a line, and then hopefully someday you'd have a directional sign for the Pavilion. It is just an alternative to consider.
Thank you. That's a good
well,
idea.
Well, considering it's wayfinding, I kind of look at it in the big picture. You know, when you go to a town when you don't know where you are, you get off the freeway, you see a sign downtown or restaurants or hotels. That's kind of how. I don't see this as informational on what is it's in large scale what's there. We have the Lake Park, you have the zoo, you have the Pavilion. Charles Paddock, the name is very important, but like I said, it's wayfinding. I see it as getting people there, and then there's information about Charles Paddock at the zoo. His name is on the zoo. It's not being disrespectful. It's just a matter of getting people there. So
it's okay. In my opinion, it's being disrespectful because there wouldn't be a zoo if it wasn't for him. And you can get it on there very easily. And Tom has got the right idea. You don't want people turning into the Pavilion there. They got to walk a half a mile to get up there. You want the Pavilion sign down below, further on down. So,
Jerry, I can come on board with that. I think Tom came up with a real good idea. I know if I was driving down the road and I was not familiar with the area, I would be interested in seeing the Lake Park and the zoo, but maybe not so much looking at the pavilion.
Right.
And I think we can take care of that in an alternate way down the road. So I could go along with Tom's recommendation.
Is there a third sign being planned in this project?
No.
Not at this time. Not part of this project, but we have discussed other wayfinding signage, you know, opportunities.
I'd like to go back to your comment that people have had trouble finding the pavilion. Can you give me any comments, or is this just your opinion, or people have told you they can't find it?
I think it came out of discussion with the community services staff that there have been a number of times people have had trouble, called them and say they're having trouble finding the pavilion. And mm-hmm. So we thought having a sign on the Morrow or Highway 41 frontage would be a good idea. But this is exactly why we're bringing it to your, you know, for discussion tonight.
And would you count that parking in the front as overflow parking for the pavilion, which if you have a larger activity, they often do park there for that?
I think it's kind of a 50-50. You know, I think some people don't mind the short mm-hmm. walk, but you know, Rotary's out there, Wade. I would imagine most of the Rotary guys that come out there every week probably park in the, you know, the Pismo sure. Avenue parking lot, knowing that it's closer.
Sure. Thank you.
Any other comments? If not, I'll open it up for public comment. Seeing no public comment. Whoop. Okay.
I think that the lake park should stay, that Charles Paddock should be in the center, and Zoo in as large a font as we can make it on the bottom. And then I think the pavilion needs to go up down at the appropriate street to get to the pavilion.
Who might That's you be?
Donald Cross, Tascadero.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Donald. With no other comment, I'll close public comment and bring it back to for a motion, Mr. O'Malley.
Can we discuss the font sure. again? I think actually he made a good point that Charles Paddock, because it takes up a spot in the middle and it's a long word, could be a smaller font, and Zoo could be the larger font below.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. I think it would need to be to fit, but I think, again, if we had Lake Park, then Line, and then Charles Paddock, then Zoo.
Large Zoo.
Yeah. Yes, but without the second line, then it kind of groups Charles Paddock Zoo together. And I understand, I don't like making a change at this stage when staff have worked on it so much, but it's been a long-standing issue for me of trying to direct folks how to get to the pavilion when they don't know how to get there yeah. for handicap parking or anything, and we're looking at expanding parking there. It's pretty easy to, then you could tell folks, there's three roads. First one, you go to the Veterans Memorial. Second one, you go Lake Park Zoo. Third one, you go to the pavilion. If it's a big thing, go to Lake Park Zoo and walk a little farther. You could describe it a lot easier than yeah. trying to tell folks this yeah. little back road.
Mm-hmm. Could I say, you know, I think it's important that we get a sign down there for the pavilion. It doesn't have to be an elaborate thing like this, but just right. a regular wayfinding sign. And I think it's important that it goes there. And the other thing is, the parking by the zoo is overflow parking. No one will park there unless it's full up above, or they consider it's going to be full. It's strictly overflow.
I think with our hopefully our new promotion department,
yes.
we can work on that with advertising and what have you. So, Mr. O'Malley,
thank you. I'll go ahead and I move staff's recommendation with the original design, however, with a text change so that it reads. First line is Lake Park, underline, then Charles Paddock, and then Zoo is the next line. And the Zoo be a, I think Lake Park and Zoo could be larger text and a slightly smaller text for the Charles Paddock.
And the font doesn't have to be, the type of font that's here. You know, it could be square, whatever you want to call it, on
Fine.
Charles Paddock.
I'll look for a second.
I'll second that.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant, I'm sorry. I did that again.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next, we have council announcements and reports. Do we have any announcements or reports?
I got something I want to say, if this is time for it. You know, at and this is important to me, at public comment, why one of the persons said that figures lie and liars figure. Well, that goes for everybody, all right, now, not just the people that get up to the podium. They talked about roundabouts. It wasn't too many months ago that Caltrans put on a demonstration right here and showed how important roundabouts were. So I don't think that's going to be a problem with Caltrans. It's obvious that there's three or four people out there that have a vendetta against Wade McKinney and Tom O'Malley, and basically that's bothering me a lot. I know they can take it, but, you know, it gets a little ridiculous. It seems like we can't do anything right as far as these persons are concerned. Constructive criticism is great, but constantly badgering us for things that don't seem to be that important is out of order, in my opinion, although they certainly can do it. That's what public comment's all about. Everybody up here, including staff, and that goes for staff right on down the bottom, you know, do what's best for Atascadero. That's the way I address everything, and I know my fellow council members do too. It really bothered me at the last meeting that one of the people that got up the podium stated that the staff were lying and actually named the staff that was supposedly lying and said they needed to be reprimanded and so on. And even in his report, you know, it wasn't exactly factual either. So please consider the source when you hear these comments. Thank you.
Chair, I'd just like to comment on that, that the person that you were referring to about the lying, I had a telephone call with him after the city council meeting, and before we can even start, he apologized for his actions that evening. So
you,
I just
you can't you can't unring a bell, unfortunately, Bob.
Well, no, I understand, but I just, you know, I wanted to speak up for him on it. Are there any other announcements or reports, Ms. Fonzie?
Yes, I read in the paper that we had a violation of the selling cigarettes to minors recently. There was actually two. I don't remember who they were. I think one was Albertson's, and I can't recall the other one. But I was wondering if the city council would like to propose that one of us be a representative to go talk to that individual business and express our concern and tell them that we'd like them to get on board. We'd like this to be a voluntary matter rather than a mandatory matter.
I'll volunteer to go to...
Okay, Jerry and I will take care of that.
Yeah, because I already did talk to one of the... And they were really upset, and it was a new employee, and it's just one of those things that happened.
Very good. I think really the personal touch is important with the business, and right. If you and Bob will take that over, that's great. Sure. Right. Thank you.
That's very good, and I would like a request that I think each council member would like to know about any violations, because that's something we've kind of personally taken on in our community. We want to be proactive, and we don't want to go to a regulatory solution if we have to. And I think then if we just know, if we happen to know somebody, we can make sure we follow up and in a respectful, nice way, but it's important to us. So,
thank you, Tom.
Could I just say, and that doesn't mean that the police department or can't go there, too. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, we don't want to infringe on their job. We want them to do their job.
No, we just want to, I think if we're just aware, we'll follow up personally if we happen to have a connection. And in any case, the mayor and Councilman Clay are going to make a point of doing it. So, good.
Councilman Stuber? I'd just like to report Jerry didn't give a restaurant review this week. Okay, although I did go to a soft opening for Crazy Sushi here in town, and I highly recommend it. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with what they've done down there in their menu. It was a real nice experience.
Could I just say, Joe DiDomenico, the nicest guy in town, he and I went to the Guest House Grill, and we had lunch. We had a couple of great wraps, and their sweet potato fries are just great. And today I had a sandwich at Marcy's again, and I really enjoy that. I couldn't eat it all. It was so large. So we got some great places to eat, folks. I'm telling you, stay in town, please.
Right. Thank you, Jerry. Next, we'll have the committee reports. And, Jerry, let me see. You just gave yours.
I think the only report I have is LAFCO reconsidered the Los Robles del Mar annexation to the city of Pismo Beach. And this was actually rather a groundbreaking decision. They voted again to deny The city council representatives on that board voted in favor, thinking that the cities knew best what their resources were and where they wanted to go and where they wanted to expand. It was within their sphere of influence as well. But they were overruled by others that sit on the board. I thought it was an interesting dynamic. It does not bode well for cities. I will keep my eye on it.
Thank you. Tom?
Well, I was just going to mention with the Integrated Waste Management Authority, we haven't had a meeting yet, but reusable bags. And I was disappointed to hear that because my understanding was in all of our discussion was that small stores under 10,000 square feet, I understood, would be exempt. So I'm not sure how this came about, and I would like to hear from other businesses if they've been approached. I know for a small business, it's especially difficult because they'll be required to purchase a number of these reusable bags to have on hand, and they were concerned that, you know, for a small business, that's tying up money that could go into inventory and just managing it. I think when you have a large store, of course, you have staff to deal with all of us that have lots of rules that we implement. But when it's a small business, it's usually one person who's got to learn all of these rules and keep track of a lot of information. So just report, I was disappointed. I'm going to follow up with IWMA on that. Mm-hmm. But I would like to hear if others have experience like that, that if we can take another look at that in the future. Thank you.
Yeah, Friday night is Chandler County's quarterly meeting for the League of California Cities, and City Manager Wade McKinney and I will be attending. So it's going to be very interesting to see I think it's the chairman of California Forward is going to be speaking. So that's going to be very interesting. There's a think tank of people here in California trying to find reform, ways to reform our state government. So it's going to be very interesting, and I'll give you a report when I get back.
Thank you.
I'd like to just mention, I feel towards Brian like Jerry felt towards me when I came on. Notice Jerry doesn't participate in as many committees as he used to. He kind of shifted that in. I think you've done a great job of representing us with it being the representative of the League of California Cities, and thank you for taking the time to go to those meetings and representing us. And I know it's a big commitment, especially when you're still working full time. So thank you.
Tom, I just don't want to take anybody's thunder. You understand? You know.
You're doing a good job, Chair. I've had a busy last week and a busy this week and on to next week. May 3rd, I'm the governor's appointee for the Atascadero State Hospital Advisory Committee, and we'll be having a meeting. And as you've read in the paper, the lockdowns and the violence is going to be topics of conversation down there. So I hope to bring back some information for the community of what's going on down there and what they hope to do to take care of it. Thursday, we have another design review committee meeting at 3:30. The public is welcome. That program has been very, very successful, I think. The county mayor's roundtable luncheon last week here in town, and two topics were the RDA successor committees and the oversight committees. And we also discussed the new leash law that has been implemented by the County Board of Supervisors. And I think we addressed some of the issues regarding that at the last City Council meeting that, since we do subcontract out to the county, we are subject to the ordinance, although we do have the ability to adjust the ordinance within our own city. And I think we'll be working on that here in the future.
What's the main objection?
The main objection is people that own rental properties, their responsibility as far as providing the security for people's dog when they're not really a hands-on deal. And then as you get into the real estate world, you have laws where you can't just go over and go into somebody's yard. There's limitations.
So
Roberta probably could fill you in.
So landlords can be fined. Is that what you're saying?
Right, yeah, for other people's actions.
That's nice.
Yeah. So anyhow, I think we'll work around that. And just like all the other things we try to do here on the City Council, we'll try to protect our citizens the best we can and still have a reasonable law in effect. I think our police chief is also involved in that and working on it a little bit. So we'll come back with that. And when we do come back, I hope that the public will come and put their input into it or how they would like us to hopefully put it all together. We had our first oversight committee meeting here.
Why don't you explain what the Oversight Committee is?
Yeah, I'm going to let Jim do that. He's more of a hands-on guy day-to-day, but I was selected as the chairperson for the committee, and Jim is the co-chair. So that was real good that we have real good representation for the city. But, Jim, would you like to explain exactly, you and Rochelle are in this every day.
I'll try and say it in
English. Do a better job than I.
I'll try and say it in English. The Oversight Committee was created by AB 26. That was the law that abolished redevelopment. And so basically the city became the successor agency, and the successor agency handles the day-to-day affairs of the redevelopment agency as you close it down. The Oversight Committee exists to review and approve all of the actions of the successor agency. And so it's made up of city officials, county officials, officials from the SLO County Office of Education, and Cuesta College. And so it's a 7-member committee, and it will meet as needed to approve all of the decisions you make as the successor agency.
And now we'll have the individual determination and or action. Does the city council?
And appointed Bob Pittenger, do you want to share that?
My appointment to the Recreation Committee is Bob Pittenger, and he's real active in Babe Ruth and in other youth activities. I think I really got a good guy in there now, and actually his dad and I were friends when we were kids, children. We grew up together, and it's really nice to see Bob so interested in the community, and he ought to be a really good one on the Recreation Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. City Attorney?
I have no items tonight.
City Manager?
Just a reminder about the exciting guarantee burning party Friday morning. Steve Martin is organizing, and we should have a lot of good fun. And the next 2 days, Jim and I will be at the League of California Cities Legislative Action Days. We have meetings set up with our legislators, with the clean water folks, and with the tourism folks. So we're pretty excited about the trip.
And that'll be at the in the City Hall here at 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock here at City Hall. Barring rain, we'll try to do some cool photo op out in front of the Colony Square.
Fine, thank you. And with that, I'll adjourn this evening's City Council meeting.
All right.